Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome, one and all, to the SB Nation NFL Show. Welcome specifically to TGI Football. All this presented to you by our friends at DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with code SBNFL, because life is more fun when you are in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void or prohibited, see DraftKings.com for details. As noted, this is TGI Football, the very best show, well, you know, in a tie with Monday Football Monday for obvious reasons. On the SB Nation NFL Show, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast, Apple devices, Spotify, etc., etc. You can also watch us on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. My name is RJ Ochoa. The barking in the background is my temperamental dog, Bear. And here with me, as always, from Bleeding Green Nation, Brandon Lee Gotten, and from Arrowhead Pride, Steven Serta. Steven, I was telling BLG a moment ago that I am very hungry. What do you recommend I eat?
I've been eating a ton of fruit lately. Really into Greek yogurt and blueberries right now has been my breakfast for much of the week, so I recommend that.
Brandon, what do you recommend?
I have no recommendation, but I do want to say happy Friday. My favorite day of the week, believe it or not, is actually Thursday, because it's all about the anticipation of things, and I think the championship games are the Thursday version of the NFL, because you just have that great Super Bowl looming, but the anticipation of what the Super Bowl could be, maybe arguably even better than the game itself.
The highs and lows that await the winners and losers of Sunday's games are rather dramatic. There are two fan bases. I would know nothing about this in terms of my adult conscious life, of course, as a Dallas Cowboys fan. But two Cowboys fans out there who are dreaming about, you know, the two-week run leading up to the Super Bowl that will not get to be a part of it. Steven Serta, we will see if one of those fan bases is the Kansas City Chiefs. We, of course, are going to preview both games. But before we do all that, do we want to do any more dilly-dallying? Anybody have anything of the dilly-dally sorts that they want to offer? Because we don't have a lot of games.
Kellen Moore, Eagles offensive coordinator, potentially. RJ, briefly tell me how you feel about that. We'll get into it more if it happens, but what's like your...
Well, plug away. We'll get into it more if it happens, specifically on the NFC's mixtape, which is the best mixtape that SB Nation has to offer. I can't imagine any kind of fraud losers that would offer any sort of alternative mixtape, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. For what it's worth, Steven, I blame Pete Sweeney for that, not you.
We don't actually do it anymore, so...
Wow.
We're actual fraud losers. Interesting. okay, anyway... I would love that as a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get too much into it because we have to save. It's a tease.
Doesn't it sound, Steven, like BLG said, oh, man, this is a bad thing for the Eagles, so I don't want to talk about it. Kind of like how he was hoping the Bills would win the Super Bowl so that he could justify the Eagles' win over them. Like I correctly diagnosed?
That's not true at all. Yes, I've been so flattering of the Eagles and their decisions.
Wow. I'd be a little worried. I mean, I think Kellmore's fine. That's super impressive, but he's okay, I guess.
A long time ago, this can be our final dilly-dally. Before I joined Blog on the Boys, I wrote for a different Dallas Cowboys blog. And this was when Kellen Moore was still a player, but not even like a notable player, just like a practice squad player on the Cowboys. And we would trash him all the time. We would say, like, he doesn't deserve a roster spot. You know, like, this is such a waste and blah, blah. And there was this commenter. His name was George. So, George, wherever you are, who was just like the biggest Kellen Moore fan that you've ever run into. And he would respond to every single one of these posts with like 5,000 word defenses of Kellen from his time at Boise State. I don't know if he still is, but he was at least at one point the winningest quarterback in college football history. So, yeah, good for Kellen. All right. Are you ready to dilly-dally in a proper sense?
Yes.
Okay, we have two games to get to. We're going to save our same game parlay for when we get to the NFC Championship game. So we're going to go, because it'd be weird to go same game parlay, AFC Championship, NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. I hope you both are understanding of that executive decision that I made. We have no zaps. I guess we do still have the icebox as an available outlet for somebody if they want to get into it for a team going into the Super Bowl. But Steven knows apps. What are you talking about? Like, anyway,
comment on the SB Nation NFL show YouTube page of these episodes. What is the icebox? Or I don't get the icebox.
The icebox, a TLDR, is when you are alone on an island, on a team, on a pick, you go into the icebox. And the origins for that name, you know, the best host that this show has ever had, Rob Stats Guerrera, his name obviously started with an R. Brandon, yours starts with a B. Mine starts with an R. So it just, in my mind, the acronym was BRR, like B-R-R. So it was like BRR. And that is a part of the sound drop that Steven Serta so eloquently made. So that's the icebox.
Fun fact, the icebox.
Winter is coming.
BRR! I'm in the icebox.
I like the lead into the icebox, like that. It's very dramatic, scary.
That's all Steven. Steven is an incredibly talented person, and not to poo-poo any of the other work you've done, except for the AFC West mixtape. I'll poo-poo that all day long. But that's the finest production you've ever yielded, Steven.
Thank you. I enjoy making that stuff about as much as I enjoy doing anything. So it's fun.
Can you play guitar, Steven? I feel like I thought.
No, I'm not. I really enjoy listening to music, but I am not musically talented in any way.
Same.
Okay. The AFC Championship game, the first game on Sunday afternoon, the Baltimore Ravens hosting an AFC Championship game for the first time in their short franchise history, the 28th year of existence of the Baltimore Ravens as we know them to be. They are 4-point favorites at home, as mentioned, Steven, against your, despite the fact that you've tried to claim some sort of agnostic approach to NFL fandom, your Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are playing a road title game for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, coming off of their first road playoff game and win in the Patrick Mahomes era. Where are you leaning? How are you feeling? What is the state of panic? What would a win or a loss mean? The floor is yours.
So I made my official pick, and I was telling you guys yesterday that I've been going back and forth on it all week. I've been dragging my feet because I didn't want to make a pick yet. And when the week started, I was like, the Ravens are going to win this football game. Like, I think the Ravens are the better team overall. But then, and this really was after their divisional round win over the Houston Texans and just how great they looked like in the second half of that game and ran away with everything. But then the Chiefs played the Bills, and then I got reminded, like, Patrick Mahomes just takes this thing to another level in the playoffs, and it's definitive at this point. Like, he just plays out of his mind in the postseason. He's out here chasing greatness and wants to be recognized, as if he isn't already, as one of the greatest NFL players of all time. And that's something that the Chiefs can actually, like, look forward to and hang their hats on. And so I think the biggest thing with this game, and why I inevitably talked myself into the Chiefs winning this game, is that, one, Patrick Mahomes, I think, does have the advantage over Lamar Jackson, even though I think Lamar is deservedly going to be the MVP this year, and he is one of the very best players in all of the NFL. But I think the biggest difference in this game is going to be the Chiefs' defense. And a lot of the narrative around this game right now, for some reason, and the Chiefs defense has been kind of disrespected all year, in my opinion, but it's like the Ravens have this otherworldly defense that is so far and away above every other defense in the NFL this year. And when you really look at it, it's just not true. Like, the Chiefs defense is right there with the Ravens. We're talking about, like, really small levels of separation here. And I think the Chiefs have just as many playmakers as the Ravens do. And I think that Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best defensive coordinators in all of the NFL. And so I think that people are just sleeping on how great the Chiefs defense has been this year. And so I think that's going to wind up being the difference in this game. Plus, you know, the handful of special plays that Patrick Mahomes is going to make, and Andy Reid's obviously going to bring everything out in this one. He's going to have a good game plan. He's going to try to put points up. So at the end of the day, I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs, even on the road in Baltimore. So not a surprise, probably, but it took me all week to actually get here and commit to it.
Wow.
RJ?
Before I make my pick, I would want to send something in the chat. Steven, I don't know if you saw this on Thursday. Can you open the link that I sent you both on Slack and kind of describe it and just read the information that you see on your screen, please?
It is our expert picks from TallySite.
Okay, so but this is all of SB Nation's expert picks. So, like, all the people we work with all the defined experts again.
It's not all of SB Nation's.
It's all the team all the communities. No, but it's all the experts. All the, I don't know who you know curated this or who you know recruited us, but somebody at one point in time emailed or sent to Slack and said, "Hey, we need you for our experts pick," which I was very flattered to be a part of. But Brandon is a part of this. So can you please just kind of read what you see in front of you, Steve?
I see.
This really lends well to audio format.
It lends worse to visual. It's not like anybody on the YouTube feed can see this.
I don't actually even know what you're trying to get me to read off here.
Okay, so it's all of the SB Nation expert picks, right? And there's a ranking, right? Like the most accurate to the least accurate. So the very most accurate, therefore the winner across SB Nation is the top name. Who is that?
So that's you. That'd be RJ Cho. It says you're ranked 13th.
That's interesting.
Everybody at SB Nation.
That's everybody within Tally Site, as I understand.
Okay.
Brandon, you can correct me if you have a different understanding there. You can both see that Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride is like in the middle. Pretty embarrassing performance from Pete. I mean, I think we're all in agreement there. Can you, Stephen, tell me who is the first name beneath mine? So therefore, the first loser to me.
That would be BLG. Neck and neck, right there with.
What do you, I mean, the season's not over.
From an objective data gathering standpoint, I am the most accurate person who works here in terms of
this
picking.
This is a very Dallas Cowboys thing of you to do: spike the football before the season is over. Take
interesting.
Your
I just want to understand, you know, the parameters. This I'm laying the odds the way DraftKings does. The odds suggest the odds. That I am the best at doing this. I mean, so yeah. I find this to be valuable and pertinent information.
Our lock of the week records would say otherwise.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, in as it relates to BLG, we've locked against one another twice. And he won the first one. I won the second one, the more recent one, which suggests that I'm peaking at the right time. And not only did I lock up the Texans appropriately so, but I said, this is going to be the game that everybody points to and says CJ Stroud is an MVP candidate in 2024. I think we're already starting to see that take unfold. But this isn't about CJ Stroud. This is about the team that waxed him. The team that eviscerated him, the team that eliminated the person who I correctly believed in at season's beginning, mind you, on the show tied for the best one, but this one on the SB Nation NFL show feed, Monday Football Monday. So I say all that to say, we wandered through this wilderness to get here. I am not only taking the Baltimore Ravens, I am locking them up. They are my lock of the week, 4-point favorites. This is one of the best teams that DVOA has ever chronicled. Not one of the best in 2023, literally one of the best teams that in their entire data set. Lamar Jackson has been on absolute fire, was incredible last week in the divisional round. I certainly agree with your point, though, Steven, that I do think the defense is a little bit inflated, at least as it relates to Kansas City. Like maybe if you compare them to other teams, they stand out a little bit more. But I just am not going to bet against this team right now. I think that the Chiefs just really own the Bills. And I think last week was a great win. And I recognize how silly it is to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but I am doing it nonetheless, which means, Brandon, you are casting the icebox deciding vote.
Yeah, I'm going to lock up the opposite of you. I'm going to take the Chiefs at, we're establishing it here, +4, because even if they happen to not win, you think it's going to be easy? Look how inevitable Mahomes is. It's just, it must be just so deflating for the Bills. Not only to lose, but to lose to the same person and just going
forward.
To
lose when you cut some breaks, like the Hardman fumble and things like that. Like, you know, it's, yeah, I agree with you.
But you just have no reason to believe like we're ever going to get by this specific player. you don't think it's going to happen. So I'm kicking myself for locking up against Mahomes last week. So I can't make that same mistake again. I'm going to lean into it. I'm just going to assume that like Thanos, you know, Mahomes, again, inevitable for the time being. He doesn't even have all the Infinity Stones. That's the thing. He doesn't even need them. He's inevitable despite not even having all of them. So I can't bet against that right now. I think that I would kick myself if I'm assuming that the Ravens, for as great as they are, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but they don't have that same level of inevitability. It comes down to who do you trust more? And I think Steven is making an absolutely fair point when it comes to, and Stats said this going into the divisional round last week, is like, even if Lamar doesn't play great, I trust in that Ravens defense so much. Well, I do trust Patrick Mahomes to be great. Also, I do really trust that Chiefs defense to come up strong and potentially, as Steven and I were talking about before the show here, maybe knock the Ravens off their game script. And if you can do that, I don't think Lamar is throwing his way, the Ravens back into the game if the Chiefs are able to get a lead and kind of have the game script going in their favor.
Fun fact, the icebox.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox. Two things. One, the Ravens did activate Mark Andrews on Friday, so it seems like he's going to play. That you know, I don't know that any of us think he's going to make a significant difference, but the fact that he's going to make one at all is impressive in his own right, but certainly a factor. I do want to say this. I'm not trying to couch my own lock, but I do think the Ravens may have just gotten a kiss of death. This is not something that generally works out well for them. Kyle Barber, who runs Baltimore Beatdown, our Baltimore Ravens community around here, tweeted that the Ravens have all 53 players participating. Sometimes the vibes can be too good, right? Like, it's like, that's what the Cowboys had going into their wild card. It's like, oh, everybody's healthy. Everything's working out for them. There's something, Steven, to the Chiefs having experience in the eye of the storm.
I think that's a huge factor here. Lamar is a special player, but this is the biggest stage he's ever played on in his NFL career. And even Patrick Mahomes, when you go back to his early AFC championship games and Super Bowl appearances, like, he would start slow in those games where he'd miss some throws and you could see like the big stage jitters kind of taking over, and then he'd get settled in and start making plays. And it's been a big problem with the Ravens offense this year too, that they have these really slow starts. Like it takes them a long time to get going. And we saw it last week against the Texans. Like that was a one score ball game going into the fourth quarter against the Texans. And then the Ravens obviously ran away with it. But their offense sometimes just takes a while to get going. And I think with the way Patrick Mahomes is playing right now, even though that Ravens defense has been so tremendous, like I just don't think you can start slow in this game. And that's something that I'm worried about with the Ravens. But also, like, yeah, I went so back and forth this week because I'm not discounting what the Ravens are. I think the Ravens are a tremendous team, and I think it's going to be a really tough football game.
This has the potential to be a really legacy impacting game. If the Ravens win this game, Lamar suddenly has the most viable, maybe not a viable, but the most viable chance to, you know, match Mahomes in terms of career accomplishments before it's all said and done. And if John Harbaugh gets a second Super Bowl win and finally gets one that's not against his brother, right? Like that makes the first one really awkward and weird, like, you know, whatever. But, you know, it'd be big. All right, let's move to the NFC Championship game. Steven, we know that your lock of the week will come here because Brandon and I both issued ours. For what it's worth, you know, in the interest of full objective data, from a lock standpoint, BLG, you are 12-7-1. I am 8-12. Steven, you are 16-4. So you are going to apply a kiss of death one way or another here in the NFC title game. But this is the subject of our same game parlay, which is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gentlemen, there have been two rounds of playoff games, and we have gotten skunked in both of them. None of us have hit a single leg of a same game parlay in a postseason game. This one is for a ticket to the Super Bowl, which means we have to bring our absolute A game. Steven, you are 7-13, which means you are last in same game parlay locks for this season. BLG, you have the lead at 9-11, and we're counting on you, because if you don't hit this one, you ensure that nobody will finish at least at 500 this season. So where are you going and why?
I'm going to take the under on Christian McCaffrey yards. That ended up dropping to 85.5 as far as we checked, or as far as I know, and checking DraftKings Sportsbook last. Obviously, that might fluctuate a little bit. Doesn't matter. I'm going to take the under no matter what, because look at the Lions' run defense. I said this to you earlier this week, RJ, on the NFC East mixtape, that I know someone who follows the Lions and actually covers them too.
For we all know him.
Jeremy, it's his friend and my friend, Alex, who has been consistently...
They're not our friend, Steven. Way to isolate us.
Betting on the Lions opponent running back that week, the under, consistently, and hitting on it a lot. Because Lions have the best run defense in the NFL. They allow the fewest rushing yards in the league this year. So I think that's a really nice thing to have going, and obviously going to be a big point of emphasis going up against this 49ers team that is going to want to run the ball. But I think the Lions run defense will be able to come through again and shut down Christian McCaffrey, who was kind of a little bit underutilized too, I felt like at times in the last week. So maybe Kyle Shanahan kind of self-sabotages a little bit and overthinks it and doesn't get him the ball enough. But I like the under on him.
Steven, BLG's prop feels a little bit like the younger sibling, like, I'm not touching you, like finger right in their face. Like, it feels like he's flying really close to the sun, taking the under on Christian McCaffrey.
I kind of agree, but he is right. The Lions' run defense has been tremendous all season. So I see the play, and like that's why it's most people would probably just take the over because it's Christian McCaffrey. So I see what he's doing.
Interesting. I'm going to take the over on a rushing prop, but not this one, because that would not be a same game parlay. Obviously, that's the way these things work. Anyway, I'm taking the over on Jahmyr Gibbs, 47.5 rushing yards. And not that this is necessary for the play, but I think he picks up a big chunk on one run. I think he rips off like a 36-yard run or something like that. Just kind of a big explosive play that puts the Lions in kind of field goal range, or, you know, on a possession, they wind up cashing in for a touchdown. And then I think he's able to eke out what he needs for the over to hit. That's minus 115. That's my particular leg. Steven, before you tell us your leg, I just want to ask you a series of yes or no questions, okay?
Okay.
So, yes or no, we have a shared doc, even though Brandon doesn't use it, where we list all the information that we need for the show, our rundown.
Yes.
Yes or no, you have access to this doc?
Yes.
Yes or no, we put the history of everything that we do in this doc, so like we update the records for locks and same game parlays and things like that. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so final yes or no question. Yes or no, we literally put the props from the same game parlay from the previous week in the doc and highlight them to show whether they hit or they failed.
Yes.
Okay, so you saw my failed prop last week.
Yeah.
What is your?
Well, and I didn't. So, okay, my same game parlay leg, and this actually, I didn't bring this up to you last week. And maybe I should have, but
we're a team. Why wouldn't you have brought it up?
Well, because I didn't want to step on your leg, but I didn't think that it was a good leg of the parlay last week, because in that particular matchup, the Green Bay Packers play zone a lot, and Deebo Samuel is really the 49ers zone beater. Brandon Ayuk's numbers are worse against zone coverage. So I liked the logic of like Brandon Ayuk's really due for this touchdown, but I didn't like the particular matchup. Now, it didn't make a difference anyways, because Deebo Samuel got hurt in that game. Otherwise, I think he would have had an opportunity to have a good game. But Ayuk still didn't find the end zone, because I think that's kind of a matchup thing with the 49ers. And also, Kyle Shanahan does get in his own way sometimes and just makes terrible decisions. But this week, the Lions like to run a lot of man coverage, and Deebo Samuel, his status is still up in the air. And so I'm feeling pretty good about Brandon Ayuk this week. And I think this is the week that he gets that touchdown and finally gets over the hump and gets back in that column, because it's a really good matchup. We know, we talk about how great the Lions run defense has been all season. Well, the way that they've been beaten is deep down the field and in man coverage, because their cornerbacks aren't anything special. And so I think Brandon Ayuk is a great mismatch for them that they're going to try to attack this week, unless Kyle Shanahan just makes bad decisions again. So I feel much better about Ayuk this week than I did last week when you picked him to score a touchdown.
Wow. If only you had helped me out and we could have, you know, reworked the parlay last week. So, you know, I love you too, Steven. BLG, of the non-legs of yours, which one do you like the most?
I like the IU touchdown score.
Once again, in the icebox. Wow. Not literally. But okay, that is our same game parlay. The total line on that, Brandon, is plus 525, which means?
Wow. Which means you can bet $10 and get $52.50.
Wow. That 50 cents goes a long way. That's two quarters in the machine to get whatever you want.
A couple gumballs, maybe.
I hate gumballs out of machines. That's pretty gross to think that they're just sitting there and then you have to chew them and break them. They hurt your teeth. Not for me. You both strike me as people who really like sour candy. Is that correct?
I like sour candy. Assertion?
No, I don't really eat candy that much, to be totally honest. I'm a big interesting gum quality, guy, but like minty gum, not gumballs.
What kind of mint? We're about like, you know, peppermint, spearmint.
I like spearmint. I'm a big spearmint.
Okay. I'm cool with all this. last thing before the title game discussion, you're a big movie goer. So are you like a popcorn person? You don't want anything? You sneak your own food in? Like, what's the deal there?
I generally don't eat anything at the movies. Sometimes I buy a drink or something like that, but I'm not like, I go to the movies by myself and order a giant thing of popcorn and candy and stuff like that. Like, I just want to go sit in the movie in silence.
I feel like you can't do that if you're going all the time. You know, it's one, like, I go occasionally and I'll do the popcorn and the soda because,
well, they have the refillable things. You buy the like plastic thing and you just take it, and then you pay like a discounted rate.
I only go like 3 or 4 times a year, so it's like a treat for me.
Okay. I'm good with all this level of logic. So I'm glad that we all finally got on the same page. I know, you know, I ruffled some feathers. You know what I mean? Wouldn't have been TGI football if
that had
been
the case. You didn't rustle feathers.
We were having such a great moment. Anyway, the NFC Championship game. The Detroit Lions are visiting the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday afternoon. They are 7.5-point underdogs, BLG. Your take on the game?
Lions are winning this game. They're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Boom. That's the end of my pick. No, I think the Lions match up well against the 49ers. Lions' biggest weakness, I would say, is that I don't totally trust their passing defense up against an offense that might want to pass the ball a ton. That's not who the 49ers are. 49ers want to run the ball. And I just said that the Lions' run defense is the best run defense in the NFL. Now, that will obviously be put to the test here because the 49ers, I think, can do what they want to do at some level, regardless of quality of opponent when it comes to the other run defense. But I think the Lions are going to lock into this being, this is how we get the 49ers off script. We're going to make Brock Purdy throw the ball a lot. And if Brock Purdy has to throw the ball a lot, I know that it's not going to be the same deal as it was last week with the rain factoring in. I just still don't fully trust him when it comes to, you know, avoiding turnover worthy kind of plays. He was begging to throw a pick six last week. Like, it was, I was so confident. I was just waiting for it to happen with some of the way he was putting throws into danger there. And I think Jared Goff has been doing that less. And I think Jared Goff has also been making higher quality throws. So I really think that the Lions are going to do it. They've made it this far. Their vibes are good. They brought in Zach Ertz, Super Bowl winning tight end Zach Ertz, to help supplant the loss of Brock right there behind Sam Laporta, who's also been made up. So, you know, the vibes are too good for the Lions to lose this game. And wouldn't it just be so fitting for the 49ers to talk all this trash like they did last year about the Eagles and NFC Championship game and make it back and not even win this year? Wouldn't that be incredibly fitting? And also, sorry, last thing. When it comes to the coaching matchup and who's going to give their team an edge when it comes to being aggressive, we all know it's Dan Campbell and not Kyle Shanahan, who botched the end of the second quarter of that game against the Packers there. So I just think I trust the Lions more than I do the 49ers. So I'll take them outright, but certainly with the points.
You mentioned the vibes being too good. I think that they are, but not in the same way I think the Ravens vibes might be too good. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, there's different type of too good vibes, and Detroit's feel sustainable. To me, this comes down to the thing I trust the least, and it is wild to say that that is Kyle Shanahan, but it absolutely is. Like, I think we all agree he's afraid of his own shadow in moments like this. It's not just last week and the end of the first half against Green Bay. It's multiple times, multiple instances. We've seen this over the course of, there's a reason that they still haven't won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the worst thing I've ever said to you, Steven, my bad. But Pete has often talked about that Super Bowl, and Kyle Shanahan kind of laid down and opened the door for Patrick Mahomes to storm back and win it. And, you know, I know there was, is there time to run WASP and all these billion things that have happened, but like, that all happened because Kyle Shanahan was a coward. So you can miss me with, oh man, Jimmy Garoppolo missed the throw and all sorts of whatever stuff you want to say about that game. I trust Dan Campbell, like you said, Brandon, to put his team in the position to win more. There is a high level of impressiveness to me in what the Niners have been able to do. It is so hard to try to get back to the top of the mountain after you were right there. And they were, and I know you didn't ever want to give them grace for this, but they had a legitimate gripe about the way their season ended. It was unfortunate. I think you can at the very least admit that. And that they've been able to pick themselves up and get back here and look like the best team in the NFL in stretches throughout it is an impressive thing, but it is so hard to carry that burden the entire way. Only the truly, truly, truly elite teams do that. And I think the Lions are playing burden-free football. The Lions are not in any way stressed. I think that they're, you know, cautious of things because it's a it's the NFC Championship game, but they do not play as tight as the Niners do, and that's obviously a reflection of Kyle Shanahan. So I am absolutely taking the Lions here, Steven. So that means you're either going in the icebox or we're clean sweeping the Lions on TGI football. But Brandon has something to say to steal your thunder before you get an opportunity.
A quick point on Shanahan. Like, before even the injury in the game last year to Brock Purdy in the championship game, you know, there was that crucial fourth down where Jalen Hurts completes a pass to Devontae Smith that wasn't actually caught. And there's every reason for Kyle Shanahan.
So where the Eagles benefited from something that shouldn't have worked out for them.
But right? Kyle Shanahan, there's every reason for him to throw a challenge flag there because, like, especially in today's NFL, when there are even more opportunities for review than there ever have been, because in addition to obviously the automatic review plays, there's the expedited review. Like, there's every reason for him to throw a challenge flag there. When that game is still competitive, which is in his control, his quarterback isn't hurt at that point, and he didn't do it. And I feel like you can count on him to make a mistake like that again, or at least not give his team an edge. So that's all I wanted.
My last thing, Steven, because Brandon, you were talking about, wouldn't it be so fitting or whatever? I think it would be so fitting that we all spent the entire offseason saying, like, well, the three best teams in the NFC in whatever order are the Niners, Eagles, and Cowboys. And yes. Then there's a clear gap before the Lions. It would be so fitting if the Lions just survived the gap and ultimately won the conference. But Steven, the floor is yours.
So my lock of the week is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And really, I guess I feel better about it because I was not expecting both of you to also pick the Lions in this game. But I was going at it like not necessarily from a logical, like I've really like analyzed this game and I have. But like I think logic would say like the 49ers have the most talent, even though the Lions are a really, really talented team. And so you should pick the 49ers just because of their body of work and the success they had and everything we've seen them accomplish this season. But I'm rooting for the Lions in this game. And I want the Lions to win because I think that's the best storyline that we could get going into a Super Bowl. I would love to see Detroit in a Super Bowl. And so I'm really picking more with my emotion than my logic, I think. But everything that you guys said is helping make me feel even stronger about it because it really is like it's unbelievable how hard-headed Kyle Shanahan is about these kinds of things and how like it goes all the way back to that Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl where it like for a guy who has some of the most talented players at his disposal in all of the NFL. We all agree that he is one of the absolute best offensive minds of an entire generation across the NFL. And the way he handcuffs himself in these kinds of games is unbelievable. Like, and it's got to be so frustrating to watch for 49ers fans because that's something going into the NFC Championship game. We can definitively say there's going to be moments in this game where Kyle Shanahan will poorly mismanage the clock, will make bad decisions, be way too conservative at times. And then Dan Campbell's like, we're going to go for every fourth down. We're going to take that. We're going to grab that advantage. And there's nothing you can do about it because we are not afraid of it. And Kyle Shanahan is absolutely afraid of it. And at the end of the day, like, yeah, the Lions have are overmatched probably on the defensive side of the ball. Like their defense isn't anything special, but it's gotten a little bit better as the season's gone on. Their secondary is still super suspect. But that offense is so aggressive and they have so many talented players that are going to be an issue for the 49ers. And I think the 49ers defense has really underperformed in the second half of the season. Like once they go trade for Chase Young, I was like, oh, man, that defensive line is a problem. And it really hasn't been that big of a problem, which is crazy because they got Nick Bosa and Chase Young and, you know, and Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner are special players, Tre'Davious Ward's an All-Pro. And it just feels like their defense hasn't really performed up to the level of their personnel and what you would expect. And maybe that's a D'Amico Ryans thing and why they've kind of been a little bit more down this year. I just think that the Lions have a good matchup advantage on the offensive side of the ball. And there's going to be moments in this game where that aggressiveness is going to come into play. And we've seen it be successful for the Lions over and over again this year. And we've seen Kyle Shanahan make poor decisions that cost the 49ers. So at the end of the day, I've just got more confidence in the Lions coaching staff at this point in this kind of situation. So you guys made me feel a lot better about it. I'm feeling pretty confident about the Lions, though.
Well, Steven, you started by saying like, oh, I'm really only locking them up because I want them to win. I think that's a really important quality to this game. Like Dan Campbell wants to win. Like, he will like die trying to win because that's the only thing he wants. I know that this sounds stupid. Like, I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to win, but I think what drives him more is the need to win. Like, he is this, you know, obviously NFL royalty and comes from like an NFL family. He has spent his whole life. Like, there is this immense pressure on him to live up, not just to like the familial kind of, you know, reputation he has, but now the like culture of the reputation that he himself has fostered. Like, he is the boy genius without the coronation. Like, Sean McVay has been coronated, however cowardice, you know, however cowardly we think he may be. Like, Kyle Shanahan is the one chasing demons here. The Niners have a longer Super Bowl drought than the Cowboys. I mean, like, there is a lot happening here, and I think that, you know, Dan Campbell is the perfect kind of, you know, liberated coach to kind of counter that and take advantage of that. So I think that the want element is more important than you were maybe initially giving it credit for.
I think the Lions are loose. You know, I saw that Jared Goff press conference moment, which is funny, this week, where, you know, some reporter starts off by like complimenting the Lions roster, and he's like, oh, thanks. And then he's like, but not as good as the 49ers. And he's like, well, never mind. But seriously, that's a small moment. But like, I just think about how when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they were an incredibly loose team. And I just think there's something to that. I think the Lions have this looseness to them. I think you just touched on that there, RJ, well. On the opposite end with the 49ers, I don't think that's the same energy. I think they're uptight, and that starts with the head coach. And to Steven's point too, coaching's scared. So yeah, we're very much at risk of, we don't have the graphic here, but being like, you know, the ESPN broadcast before the game that has like all the same team winning, and then obviously it's going to be a meme when they lose, and stats is going to come on here somehow and tell us we're all idiots for picking against them. But I'm not going to regret taking the Lions.
I don't either. This whole thing, I don't want to bank on an uptight coach, to your point. Like, you're both aware of, is it Austin Butler, Steven, the dude who played Elvis?
Yes.
Okay, like, what was the story that popped up actually this morning that he had to, like, I know we've all talked about many times about how he can't shake the Elvis accent, but he hired, like, a dialect coach to do so? Okay, Austin Butler is Kyle Shanahan. Like, dude, this should not be this way. Like, you are making this way more uncomfortable and awkward than it has to be. Whereas, this is something Steve and I have talked about many times before, Dan Campbell is Andrew Garfield in Tick, Tick, Boom. You need me to sing? You need me to learn how to sing? Like, fine, I'll learn how to sing. I'll play the piano. Like, I'll be totally fine. Like, let's just have some fun. I'm awesome.
It's, we just see this so often in the NFL too. Like, Kyle Shanahan is one of the definitive coaches in the league right now that's like, I am the figurehead, I control everything, and nothing is going to be decided unless I give you the go-ahead. And we see a lot of these other successful coaching staffs where it's like a collaborative effort. We listen to everybody's ideas and we try to adapt and change things up. And you find a lot of success in that. And Kyle Shanahan is brilliant. He's great. But how many times are we going to see him mess these things up? How many times are we going to see him make poor decisions where it's like, you can see the positive outcome outweighs the negative impact of the call that you're going to have? And he just does it over and over again. And I will say too, because I don't think we really touched on it, like, I think another matchup advantage for the Lions in this one is that offensive line. Like, we've talked about it, like, their offensive line is tremendous. And just, I've watched so much Lions football this year where that offensive line is just like mauling guys. And so when you talk about an incredibly talented 49ers defensive line that seems like it is kind of underperforming right now, like, they really didn't generate that much pressure on Jordan Love last week. And the Lions offensive line is much better than the Packers offensive line. Like, I think that's another huge key to this game where I think the Lions have a significant advantage over San Francisco.
Wow. So Super Bowl. Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
Well, we made our picks for what we think the Super Bowl is going to be. RJ taking the Ravens and the Lions, a rematch of whatever game week that was this season where the Ravens blew out the Lions. And Steven and I are taking the Lions and the Chiefs, a rematch of the NFL season opener. How about that?
So nobody believes in the color scheme conspiracy
here. We are apparently not conspiracy people here.
Right.
Yeah. My question,
it would be cool, sorry I interrupted, but to bookend the season with Chiefs Lions.
I agree. Like, it would in a way, I was saying to Steven, like, it kind of feels like, well, what was the season even for? Like, we just like ended up where we started. But I think a very interesting matchup. And obviously there's no Travis Kelce in that first game, so, you know, like, and no Chris Jones, so the dynamic is certainly different than it was back then. and the Lions, I think, are a better team also than they were in that week one game. My question for both of you is, which Super Bowl, we've already said what we think will happen. Which Super Bowl matchup do you think, though, is like the best possible Super Bowl matchup? And which Super Bowl matchup do you think is the worst possible Super Bowl matchup?
I think it's Chiefs Lions. And I probably a few weeks ago would have said Chiefs 49ers. But I think that this conversation really, and like everything that we're talking about with Kyle Shanahan is making me kind of change my tune on that, because I want to see the Lions' aggressiveness in a Super Bowl, and they'll put everything on the line, and we know that they will, and they won't, and they won't let anything, like they won't be too cautious about anything. Like, they will go out there and they will do absolutely everything they can to try to win a game. And that's the kind of football game I want to watch at a Super Bowl.
RJ.
I think the best game has the potential to be Lions Chiefs. I agree with Steven. As much as I believe the Ravens will get there, it's just the Ravens blew them out. Like that, you know what I mean? Like that, you know, so like,
yep.
Recent history would suggest that wouldn't be a great game. But I do think that, I know these are different answers, I think Lions Ravens is the most fun week leading up to it. No offense, Steven. I think we're all sick of Chiefs stories, and you know, it's just been done a million times. We don't need to see Chris Jones at media night behind the podium. Like, I'm just ready for something new. And I think that that's
Travis
kind of the
Kelce
universal
up on the podium talking about how no one believed in them yet again.
Many Taylor Swift questions.
I don't need Jason Kelce at media night wearing a, you know, crazy outfit interviewing Travis and then being on New Heights. Like, again, like, it's all fine and get your bag. I'm totally fine with that. But like, we've just seen that a billion times at this point. So the Ravens would be the new team, obviously. And so from that standpoint, them and the Lions, because we would see the Hard Knock stuff and see Aiden Hutchinson singing Billie Jean a billion times as well. But I'd be more interested in learning those stories, like the deep stories you get throughout Super Bowl week, than the Niners at this point in time. Plus, Dan Campbell during Super Bowl week would be incredible content. So I would like to see that from a week-long standpoint. I think the most boring is probably Chiefs-Niners, because it just happened.
Yeah.
And I think we'd get a lot of like reserve nature from Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, from a Chiefs standpoint, nobody would want to say anything, because they wouldn't want to be like, well, we beat them last time. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be kind of dull all the way around.
I agree with that. On that note, I want to see Lions Chiefs, and I do think also that is the most compelling story to tell. Yeah, and I think least would be for me actually Lions Ravens, because I don't think there's a lot of whole juice there. I mean,
the Harbaugh stuff would be really exhausting with a Lions Ravens Super Bowl. Obviously, like the Michigan angle and John, and now the Chargers, and it'd be annoying.
I have a two-pick parlay bet going on of the Super Bowl I don't want to see, though, which is the Ravens and the 49ers, because that's like my nightmare Super Bowl, because I don't want to see, so with all due respect to Rachel, I don't want to see either of those teams win the Super Bowl.
I asked Stats, we had him on our radio show on Friday morning, if the Niners win, who he would prefer less to face. There we go. Who do y'all think he said? Who do you think Stats is more afraid of if the Niners get through?
Mahomes.
Yeah, I would think so.
You both agree that it's Mahomes?
Yeah. Yes.
He said it's the Ravens. And he said, like, he was like, there's no good answer. He said, but this is just, you know, the worst offense we've seen in the Mahomes era. Like, you know. So if I have
Eagles were in a similar situation last year, it was like, well, who would rather play, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes? It's like, I mean, not really a great choice there.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah, not well. I didn't feel good about either one. So, yeah.
I will say I'm already pre-annoyed at the grass take. I know that there was like the Bleacher Report notification that went out on Thursday about how the NFL is confident in the grass at Allegiant Stadium. I'm not looking forward to all this discourse over the course of the next 2 weeks.
I don't understand why we have to have these conversations. The NFL could just, you know, invest in good grass and we don't ever have to talk about it ever again.
I don't know how expensive grass is, but I can't imagine it's, you know, that expensive for a multi-multi.
I'm sure it doesn't matter to them.
Wow.
Do you have grass, RJ?
What?
Do you have grass? Like, does your yard have grass?
That's a really peculiar question.
Well, because I know some parts of the country don't have that. Like, they just have like rocks or whatever.
What?
It's too dry. It's too hot. It's yeah. true.
Like in Arizona, my buddy lives in Arizona, and I don't think he has.
Maybe we have grass in our front yard and on the side of our house, but our backyard is a little unique, and we actually had the grass ripped up, and there's turf back there, but it's more for the dogs, and so we don't have to mow it and stuff.
No, it's because you're a football guy and you're out in the backyard.
Yeah,
practicing.
Yeah, me and Bear are running routes, and you know, doing our thing. Anything else? This is last chance, or else you know, gone forever.
Royal Rumble this weekend.
Excited. I'm not a big wrestling person. I don't have a problem with that. It's never been my thing. Steven, are you watching Royal Rumble?
I never would have known. Pete Sweeney, also a big wrestling
guy.
Oh,
that's right.
I'm sure he would have said something to me about it today.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. How about this? You can't say Royal Rumble, Brandon. What non-football thing will you watch this weekend, Steven?
I've been rewatching the Netflix Daredevil show on Disney Plus, so I'll probably
very good.
A few more episodes. So a plug for Netflix and Disney Plus. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but it's like it's on Disney Plus now. It's a former Netflix show. It's confusing.
Okay, Brandon.
Shout out to my friend Holden, who RJ,
who is a coward and never messages anything when the Eagles lose. Yeah, I know.
Who he was like, you should watch the Peaky Blinders. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch Peaky Blinders.
It's good.
I
watched one episode so far, so I don't really have a strong take on it other than I'm interested to see where it goes.
I'm looking for a new show to watch myself, like when I have some, like when my wife's asleep or something like that. And Peaky Blinders is in the mix. So if you strongly recommend, I might give it a whirl. My wife and I really like this show. I don't mean to offer the NFL another ad for Peacock, but it is on Peacock and it's called Traitors. If you're a fan of Survivor,
something
the challenge,
you know about.
Or you know, it's kind of like a Clue, like whodunit, you know, game. It's really, really, really fun. I highly recommend it. So we'll be hitting.
Okay. TGIF.
No, not yet. Steven,
what do you mean? End the show.
No, Steven. Steven gets the last word. The Chiefs are playing. Steven
all right,
gets
the end the show. Steven, do it.
Chiefs are going to another Super Bowl. TGIF.